Blog Talk Radio.
Search and rescue, but stress that these numbers are very fluid. Florida State Fire Marshal Jimmy Petronis said that this is the largest deployment of task force resources in state history for an event that's not a hurricane. Both the East and West Coast are in for a toasty day. The National Weather Service in New York says a heat advisory is in place today and temperatures could feel like 100 degrees or more in parts of New York and New Jersey. Meantime, folks in the Pacific Northwest will be dealing with even more sweltering temperatures as it's expected to reach 107 degrees in Seattle. The Supreme Court is upholding a ruling that said transgender students can use a bathroom that matches their gender identity in schools. Michael Kastner reports.
A high court refused to hear an appeal to a lower court ruling that said treating transgender students differently violates Title IX, a federal law that bans sex discrimination in schools. Gavin Grimm, who was born female but identifies as male, has waged a years-long legal battle with the school board in Gloucester County, Virginia. At first, the principal gave him permission to use the boys' bathroom, but the school board said restrooms were limited to the corresponding biological genders. The Supreme Court's action leaves Grimm's lower court victories intact.
And security checkpoints at America's airports keep getting busier. The TSA says more than 2.16 million people were screened at airports yesterday. Spokesperson Lisa Farbstein says that's a new record since the coronavirus pandemic began. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Take a moment and rate your lifestyle on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is a life that's nothing like the life you were promised after getting good grades, a college degree, and a good job in corporate America. 10 is the life of your dreams. If you answered anything less than a 10, tune into the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del, self-made millionaire and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, will show you how to live the life of your dreams and pay for it with passive income.
Tune in, everybody. Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. Well, folks, it's the day we've been waiting for the last few days, actually. Possibly the hottest day of the year expected. Temperatures well past 100, reaching up to 107, 8, 9, and maybe 10 in selected areas. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the east to southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to a mild 68, 69. Sunshine returns for Tuesday. High temperatures, much cooler, at 10, 15 degrees, probably down to about 90. Low temperatures, around 65.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, Yahoo for this day. Oh, my gosh, we started this day off so wonderfully. I know, Benny, it is like, so, Benny.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think I was doing in 109 degrees like on Saturday?
You were probably chilling and maxing and relaxing all and cool.
I'll tell you what I decided. Here's the thing. This is what I've decided. You know what I decide about heat?
What's that?
Here it is. If you are in the heat, I mean literally in it, and you can get your body, Emily's going to talk about this today. If you're in the heat and you can get your body temperature adjusted to it, so let's say, what was it, 110 on Saturday? Something like that.
Not officially that warm. I mean, maybe in selected areas, but not
okay.
For the city.
But it was 100-something. Cause
it was up there.
My little thermometer thing out there.
Right.
In the ship.
Right.
I decided I'm going to garden. I'm going to put mulch down. And I'm out there. Linda and I are out there all day long. All day long. Sweating.
Yeah.
Just getting it going, drinking, taking our little break.
Yeah.
Out there with the gardening, moving some plants around, getting some things that we needed to get done for like an entire day in the heat. Because I'd rather sweat out in that heat
and be in one of the 70% of the people in the Pacific Northwest that don't have air conditioning.
Through that. Through that. And you're from the East Coast, too. You're kind of familiar with it.
And also, I think Emily's going to join me here today in a minute. We got a great book, Healing Ourselves Whole. Again, great to have her back. Read this excellent healing manual and begin the process of becoming whole and complete. You can read it. We got three copies. We're going to talk about it. But you know what I found out about it? So Linda doesn't adjust so much to the heat. But I'm a heat baby. I'm like, if you put me in 110 degrees, something happens. I just get, like, fired up. I can't stop. I want to keep going. I mean, yes, let's replant everything. Let's put, oh, great, I got a little altar over here. Let's put the hostas in the ground. Let's get that, and let's put another one over here. Home Depot, let's get 8 more bags of mulch, and let's put them down. That's me. Poor Linda, I'm dragging her along. But my body, normally, runs at about 97 degrees. So today what we're going to talk about is how our bodies take things in, who we are. How do we absorb things? What happens when we're hit up with things that are not so great? Now, look, I just got 2 new knees replaced. So for me to even be out there doing something, something's going on. But to go into my house where it is no air, I'd rather be outside in the sun, be outside, get a little bit of breathing it in, and sweat myself. Today, this is a conversation with Emily. The last time I had her on the show was great. And I told you that her work is groundbreaking, but it's also relevant. See, in today's world we're living in, you've got to make adjustments. We're making adjustments in the network. Yeah, we went through 18 months, and you all said to us, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to add more of this. Believe me, we're like inches away. Emily did the same. Emily A. Francis joining me here today, Healing Ourselves Whole, W-H-O-L-E. Let me tell you what that means. Every part of you is affected by a thing. The 115 degrees it's going to get today, you're going to be affected by it, some people more than others. In our office, you heard me talk about this last week on the show, our AC unit was not working. So today, great people came here from a company that's local. On a day where most HVAC people are so busy they don't know what to do with themselves, they came here today. Thank you to them for doing that. But what about the shock and the trauma? What about what goes on in our bodies? What about what happens when our mind, spirit, and our energy forms are out of alignment? That's what this book is about. Because you may be able to heal 2 knees from knee replacement. But what if you had like an emotional event over that? I don't know. But that's what Emily is here today. We're on a journey for a deep path within ourselves. Because if we are not rearranging things, we're going to continue to hurt each other. We're going to continue to hurt ourselves. We're going to continue to have unintentional trauma impacting our bodies, our spirit, our energy field. But this book is going to help us and give us a way out. Emily, it's great to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. I'm so happy to see you in person now. Last time you were on the radio and we did it audible only, and it is really cool to be able to see your face and jive with you. And I feel you on the heat because I moved to Malta, which is a country off the coast of Italy, and I moved here sight unseen this year in August during the pandemic, during the lockdown. We left the country. So me, my husband, my children, and 4 animals all arrive in Malta. And the thing is that all the buildings here are made of limestone.
That's right.
So there's no central air or central heat at all. So in the cold, it's like it gets into your bones. And in the hot, it's like there's a few air conditioning units like in college in separate rooms, but there was a heat wave this week, and you open the window and nothing changes. So usually we have the sea on the front and backyard of my house. The sea gives us that nice trade wind. Nothing is moving. So it's like stifling. And it like I brought in a fan today because I've been doing these interviews where I've been like sweating around the collar. My hair gets wet while I'm talking. It's so ungodly hot. And for me, I'm like you. I would much rather be outside. If you're going to take me in the heat, take me outside. But do not make me sit in a room made of stone with no movement, no air, no nothing, it's really overwhelming. And even the best of us with the greatest potential for mindset, it still is daunting to sit in there and be in it.
You know, it's fascinating to me. I mentioned, let's talk about normal for a minute, because this really locks right into your book. Okay. Let's talk about normal.
What is normal?
Exactly. So when people ask me about what do you think about, you know, us getting back to normal?
Oh, that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. You have to be able to create something new. There is no, first of all, we can't go back. Because the life that we were living, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people, but nobody's going to come out of us the same person they were going in. It's just not possible. So whatever that is that people did, some people got in tremendous shape. Some people got out of tremendous shape. Some people went down the rabbit hole and got stuck. Some people came up. We're all in a transition phase. That's the earth. The energy of the earth right now is in massive transition. For me, we up and left the country. You know, when you said Home Depot, my thought was like, oh my gosh, Home Depot. That's not a word I've thought of in the last year because no box stores exist here. And so there is no Home Depot.
Right.
There's no Target. There's no CVS pharmacy. When I had to figure out where to buy school supplies, there's no stores. And I had to, like, you know, message the moms on WhatsApp. Where do I buy things? And they're like, at the stationery store. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
There's no Target? There's no Walmart? There's no CVS? Walgreens? What are you people? Where am I going? You know, and it was really like to live in a place with zero big box stores is – exciting when you get used to it and navigate, but it's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
You have no Home Depot when you just want to, like, I have a gardener. So I call him and go, hey, can you bring me an apricot tree? I want to plant it.
Exactly.
You know, and then he goes and gets it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's fascinating because, you know, when I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about what we're looking at and, you know, the difference between the last book you wrote and this book is that we're taking a look right now. Let me just jump to my punchline for the book, suppression.
Oh, yeah.
Suppression has got to be the punchline for our conversation today.
Okay.
And the reason I call it a punchline is because whether we're looking at heavy four or fab four, and we'll talk about what those are, whether we're looking at those, if we are suppressing, I don't care what it is.
Everything's stagnant.
Call it a thing. If you are in suppression mode, you might go into depression mode.
Sure.
Right? Because
you're making that choice. You're making that choice to not make a choice. It's still a choice. But it stagnates every aspect of your being. And it is a chosen, I think a lot of people think that to suppress emotion means that maybe they're just gliding through. But it's not. You're actually blocking. You've put a rock in front of the cave.
Yeah.
Nothing can get through, not in your body, not energetically, not spiritually, not physically. Nothing's moving. And so you're stuck. And I would say that a lot of people have been in that space for a long time, especially now. You know,
yeah, there's an interesting show on TV. I can't remember. It's a movie. But there's this really nerdy character guy in it, and he's a super genius guy, and he ends up saving the day. But he does nothing but eat Hot Pockets to get himself moving. And it's a great, great to just watch this genius kid. So here's what I was really struck by as I was reading your book. We do the same with what you call pain pockets.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to that point where we don't know that there's a way out, we put away those pain pockets just the way that guy did from that movie. Just put those Hot Pockets down. He said, just give me the Hot Pockets and I'll give you a solution. We go, give me the pain pocket and I will take care of this and not have to deal with anything in my entire life. Thank you.
Yep. You know, in cognitive therapy, they call it a trauma capsule. So you shove the things that are too overwhelming for your mind and you shove it in a capsule, you drop it into the body and you walk away. My work begins there because we pick up the capsule from the body and we open it up. And that's the work that I believe has been missing in the healing. Everybody's focused on your mind and your behavior patterns, but what about what your body's been holding? Because your body's holding the real truth and your mind is open to interpretation. So no matter what the memory is, your mind isn't going to match what your body's been storing. It just isn't. The stories are not going to be the same. They might be in the same room. They might live in the same ballpark, but the stories aren't going to be the same because we've changed in the way that we perceive things, and we can mesh other people's stories into our own. But your body knows exactly what's happened, and it's been storing it and holding it from the moment of any kind of impact. But yeah. To suppress it means we make that choice to not go there. And that is so damaging because while our minds can maybe hold off for a while, our bodies will produce poisonous triggers all over to be pain or dis-ease because that's what happens when we choose not to make choices and when we choose not to listen to the story that our body has been holding. And a lot of it, true, is people don't know that your body's been holding.
No.
Nobody teaches you how.
They don't. And I want to redefine trauma for a minute. And this is really the journey that I've been on, really to bring a different narrative, which you've got in your book. And I want to talk about this when we talk about, and Benny and Olivia, I'm going to go ahead and skip the break. I want to talk about this because in my field, and you just mentioned it, is we have a tendency to want to label things without consideration to context. So I want to put things in context because there is trauma and now there is shock. Shock we are not talking about. Shock doesn't go away. Post-traumatic stress disorder is not going to make something that has been shocked into your cells to go away. And I think that's what your book is talking about. You know, we're talking about those things that what might be traumatic for me may not be for you. Like just the fact that I'm out in 110 degrees gardening and sweating and having a great time, that would put a lot of people into a complete fit. So don't we have to redefine for the people listening so that we can eliminate shame and eliminate guilt from how people feel to say, wait a minute. You know, my feelings are hurt by what you just said. And people look at you and say, seriously, get over it. But we've all changed now. The world in 18 months has changed. We have different sensors. Some of us take in more. Some of us take in less. Isn't it important for us, Emily, to make sure we don't pigeonhole people by saying this and this only is trauma and what you're experiencing is not?
Yes, it's incredibly important. And one of the things that I talk about in my book is that no one knows your story but you. So you could be involved in what would people would consider a trauma. Let's say all the people on a bus experience some sort of trauma. But it doesn't matter how many people are there, their story is not going to be the same as yours. No one knows your story but you. It could be the same family members, and no one knows your story but you. Because the way that we take it in, the way that it has affected us, does not reflect the way that it reflects on, or affects anybody else. So everything that this book is about, the work you do alone, the work you do by yourself, because it's not for somebody else to decide what level, what trauma, what shame, guilt, grief, what great things have come out. This is all about your work for yourself because nobody knows your story but you.
So, Emily, you wrote this book and you also, if you could hold up your previous book, I think you may still have it there with you.
Yep.
If you don't mind. This is the first conversation you and I have, and life has changed. Body heals itself. And, you know, basically I love that book, and I told you that when you were on the show last time, how pivotal it is. You know, today you've
there
also...
a second book, actually. That
there is a second book.
Yeah, there's a follow-up to it that they match, the whole body healing.
Oh, my
and
God.
And now the newest, healing ourselves whole. Unfortunately, whole body healing came out during COVID, and it just didn't get the attention. But this book is a reference manual for your healing guide. So this is all my research of who would you go to if you did have to change. Not necessarily with a diagnosis, but if you had to make a significant life change, who would you go to? So it has your physical, your emotional, your spiritual, and your energetic. Who are the practitioners under those different labels? Because if we don't treat all the aspects of the body, then we're not going to get the desired results. So this one has been hanging tight, sadly. I'm waiting for it to kind of get rediscovered. But this book, Healing Ourselves Whole, I wrote before the pandemic came and into the pandemic.
Yes.
And it's the work that you do alone. And it couldn't have come at a better and more pivotal time in the world. Because some of the things that I wrote in this book, I wrote to myself.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I read the book and I'm thinking, oh, she had to be going through something here, right?
Yes. Yes. We had moved to the south side of Atlanta to a very tight southern town that doesn't fit anything that I believe in.
Right.
Nothing. So I had to crawl into a box and become virtually invisible in order for my children to be accepted in this town. The only thing anybody asked me, and I'm not kidding when I say this, when I moved to that part of town, the only thing people cared about was, have you found a church yet? And it was like, what? Is that, okay, hey, I just moved. Like, nobody cared. They don't want to hear your story. They don't want to know who you are. They just want to be the one to bring you to their evangelical church. And I just crawled into a little box and did the best I could to make my children have a happy life in a place that didn't fit. And it felt like I was living with a tiny, because it wasn't huge, a tiny little boa constrictor wrapped around my neck. And I wrote part of this book from my office facing a brick wall. And I literally wrote to myself about that you have to change the environment for you to experience real health and healing for you. And I put something about where you are today in no way shows where you might be a year from now. And a year from writing that, I'm living in Europe. I'm living in a place where people love and accept everybody for who they are. They just want to know if you're good people. And they definitely don't care because it's very Catholic, but not the kind of Catholic, not evangelical Catholic. It's totally different. And it's slated by your zip code. So nobody's saying, hey, are you going to church? Nobody cares about that. Everybody cares about, are you good? Are you fun? Are you going to be someone I want to have in my life? And the most important question they ask here is, how long are you planning to stay? How much should I invest in our relationship before we move forward? Because so many people are expats and in and out. And we're here for the duration. So it's like my soul has opened up in a GMO-free country, might I also add. And the people... there's no evangelical here. I don't mean to put down this particular side, but that's a personality trait that's really difficult for me to expand in because I feel like there's just a wild amount of judgment. So living in the Deep South was so hard for me. And now I'm living in this place that supports everything that I am and want to be. And people aren't interested in your business, really. It's very different over here. I mean, even watching, I was at the beach this weekend and watching the parents strip down the kids and get them naked and wash them off. And I'm like, oh, my, oh, I got to, you know. And I thought, oh, I'm so American. I'm so American. To me, it's still like, oh, can't. You know, there it's like nudity is so primal and normal and natural. And so I'm my soul is calming in this new environment. But yes, when I wrote this book, I felt so displaced. And I constantly would say, I took my husband to my naturopath's office and I said, I know that there is a place where I could be really happy, where I could wake up in the morning and look around and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I live here. And now I've lived here since August, so I'm coming up on a year, and I still wake up every single day and walk outside and look to the sea and go, thank you, God, for my new life. Please let me get to keep it.
And by the way, if we're talking about Malta for a minute, let me digress for a minute before we keep rolling here, because I want to talk about this in the context of, how do I want to say it, in the context of spiritual land,
mm-hmm.
ancient Greece, catacombs.
Yes.
We're talking about a place that when you think about its history, right, you look back, what is it about this island that has become almost a place for major transmutation and transformation? Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And let me say, the thousands of years, because there's cities here that predate Christ himself. There are cities, so the amount of history here, it feels like an umbrella of prayer over the entire country. So it feels like mixed with the air has been and thousands of years of people praying. And the spiritual energy, it feels so safe here.
Yeah. Valletta, right? Isn't Valletta?
Valletta is the capital of Malta, yes.
Oh, what a place.
It feels like, first of all, it feels like going back in time, because even the schooling and the way that they treat children and the way that they grow whole people feels like the way that it used to be 40 years ago in the United States.
Yeah.
And so it's the way that they approach human life here, it's slower living. It's
yeah.
simple living. It's calmer. It's, people are very, there's a flow here. You're
yeah.
surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea, and the energy of her, it's very yin. It's very feminine.
And yet, at the same time, and yet at the same time, unless my history is incorrect, because, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of what we're about to talk to next, and that is the four biggies, the four big emotions and what we need to deal with. But the fact that you moved there, it's important. People looked at me, Emily, look, when I packed up and I, like, everybody says, we don't know what happened to you. All of a sudden, you're living in Jersey, you finished your Columbia, and then what? You packed up and you're gone, and you moved to the Pacific Northwest, and you threw your stuff in storage, and then you're here. There's not a good explanation for it. I mean, there's not a logical explanation for it. And that's my question for you. As we look at the context, and that's why I said to you it's all about context, you know, we can no longer put these items in a contextual basis of somebody's definition of trauma and shock. Because if you talk to people that have gone through this 18 months, and you're right over there by Italy, right?
Yeah.
And if I say that, I'm going to get emails from all my relatives because I did not pronounce it right, Italy. You're going to get refused. Italy as a country went through more than people know.
Yes.
But when you meet the people, you don't get the energy of that, right?
It's very different. It's very rich. The people
yeah.
are very rich. They have a depth. They have a depth that's very...
Yeah, they're not financially rich. Because my relatives
right.
over there, they're not... Yes, they're out of the field
taking back
stuff.
Out. That's yeah. true. And, you know, so they just opened back up. So my friend right now is in Sicily today sending me pictures because we're like a two-hour boat ride to Sicily.
Right.
We're right off the coast.
Oh, it's a beautiful ride.
I cannot wait to go. I cannot
oh.
wait. But it's really the magnitude of ability to heal over here.
Yeah.
It's different. And I think part of it's because these countries around here have seen a lot of bad things. They've seen a lot of hurt and war and famine and poverty, and it's layered into their system.
And, you know, the reason we're talking about this is because when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the four biggies, but we're going to talk about what each of us can do to get help. The thing that Einstein said that is coming to fruition over and over and over again, and his quote is also taken out of context, so I'm going to try to put it back in our context, is cannot solve the problem love has created. So we cannot solve the problem of what 18 months has been like for people, for moms to be at home and trying to school their kids, for dads to be at home trying to school their kids, trying to work. These commercials that are on television, that's not a joke. That's reality. They're showing something that's going on very real. You know, even if the guy shows up and he doesn't have his pants on, some of that is so real. And the kid's in the background banging on a pod.
Yeah.
18 months of that, and now what we're saying is put on your pants, let your kid bang the pod alone, and come back to the office. So when we come back, we need to talk about these four aspects here in the book, because healing ourselves whole, this is an interactive guide to release pain trauma by using the wisdom of the body. We don't use the wisdom of the body where these things are being stored. We're not going to be able to pull in the full quantum ability to heal. You may go out there and go get help from here, or go get help from here, or eat acai berries, or go get... That's great. But unless you get yourself a toothpick and try to pick out the trauma emotions from every cell, you're going to have a tough time, and that's what we're dedicating the show to. When we come back, we're going to take a short break, and just saying, Maltese artists are some of the most incredible. 15th century Maltese artists, but Sicily and Malta both. Antonello de Messina, awesome. So much richness. Why would Emily pack up and go there? What is it? Why did I move from East Coast to West Coast to a place I didn't know anything about? What is it when we say to you, maybe you got to get out of the zip code for a bit? Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to take the four biggies on. You're going to find out what you can do. Benny, we've got three copies of the book to give away, and we are taking your questions. 1-800-930-2819. I know one of these is going on for some of you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
I've often thought about Pink Floyd, and sorry, Emily, going off.
I like it.
I've often thought about Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon, and I love the documentary. And I've often thought about the energy of that. And I've often thought about why so many people feel a group like Pink Floyd so deeply in the cellular of their body. I mean, there are other groups that you feel that with, but there's something about, especially Dark Side of the Moon, that has been created in so many layers of sound. If you could ever watch a documentary on how that was created, you would be fascinated by it. But I've often wondered about why people relate to things like that and how it hits them hard. Emily, before we keep going, and by the way, 1-800-930-2819. We've got copies of the book, and Charlene is going to come on air in a second. How do people find out about you? How do they get a copy of your book?
They can go to healingourselveswhole.com. Healingourselveswhole.com. And the audiobook just released last week.
Ooh.
So you can get it on in paperback, you can get it on Kindle, you can get it in audio. And on my website, on healingourselveswhole.com, you can listen to the meditations with me. So the audiobook is narrated by Stina Nielsen, who's Goodreads Narrator of the Year, and it's beautiful. But if you want to hear me, I do just the meditations. She does the meditations in the book, on the audiobook. But on the paperback book, you can download, and I did it with a hypnotherapist who's a music producer as well. His name is Mark Van Allen. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded all of the audio meditations before I left the States. And, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Pat, I want to address what you're talking about with Pink Floyd. So the muscle memory at the physiology tracking of experience, whether it's something traumatic or something supremely joyful, they are a physiologic tracking into the muscle memory system. And this is why when a song comes on that takes you back in time, you're releasing the muscle memory and their neural pathways are strengthening and lengthening and widening if you can sit in that space for 20 seconds or more. So the muscle memories release, the dopamine receptors, if you're doing something positive, you're listening to a certain song and boom, you're 16 again or you're wherever you are and you feel the bliss sensations coming over your body. The deal is when that happens, you have the opportunity to double up on healing because those hormones, those things are coming out. So when you hear that song and you listen, close your eyes, get into that space, let the healing double up. Give that space because that's the same process that the muscles release trauma. They also release joy. So be willing to go there with that song, with that music, with that space, with that energy. Be there and let those dopamine receptors grant you double healing.
Yeah. I want to go to the phones, and then we're going to talk about the Big Four, but I have a funny feeling we're going to be able to weave that conversation in with our caller. So, Benny, let's go ahead and have a chat with Charlene. Hi, Charlene.
Hello.
Hi there. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I got blindsided last week. I actually, on my lunch hour, went outside to the picnic table, and I was physically assaulted.
Oh, wow.
So I know all about trauma. I've experienced it in the past, and I know all about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
For the first night when I went home, I couldn't sleep, but I cried the whole night. And I took time off. I'm going back to work today, actually, in an hour. And but I did take time off because I'm, you know, fairly bruised and still have the bruises, but I'll go back anyways. But what I was going to say about you think sometimes after a trauma that you're healed, but you have to work through the process. And when I heard you ladies today on the show, I thought, oh, my gosh, like this book is for me because I'm willing to do the work, right?
Right.
And I don't want to stay stagnated, you know what I mean? Like be in fear because I am a high vibrational being, but at the same time, it did lower my vibration. I will be honest.
Well, you are physically assaulted. Let's just be clear.
Yes.
This is a physical assault.
Yes.
Okay, because this is important. There are emotional assaults. There are spiritual assaults, but a physical assault encompasses all of them. You know, Emily, you want to jump in here?
Yeah. So when I have put my hands on people's bodies that have experienced assault, the tissues, they change. You need to know this because everything that I do from my work is from the body. I'm not a cognitive therapist. I have no training in psychology. My training is in the body, my hands to the tissues. Things become anchored into the body, the energy body, the physical body, the muscle body, the cellular body, and the tissues themselves, they change. They change. There's a difference. So wherever the assault has affected the body, it almost connects a rope from their hands or whatever parts of the body have gone into the parts of your body that was affected as well. And then there's the whole being aspect. But there are rituals and things to remove the ropes where things have entered into your body, and that's in my book. But mostly, I highly encourage you to seek out EMDR therapy. Go to a therapist. Work with the mind. Work with your behaviors and thoughts around it. But also, do some of the work that your body has started to store, because the conversation, as things trickle in and stay into the body, it changes the messaging system within yourself. It only takes one time for the body to understand a trigger and then go into a fear response. You don't have to have a repeated movement for the muscles to lock in the memory when it comes to trauma. So there is a lot of work to do, and I commend you that it feels like you're really strong and already have done a lot of personal work, which is why you can so freely discuss this and know that you have work ahead now again. But I beg you to do the spiritual, do the psychological, and those are different people, and do the energy hands-on work. Find a hands-on therapist, maybe somebody that does craniosacral therapy, Upledger. Yep. You can go to upledger.com and look for somebody trained in SER, somatic emotion release. And you can go to upledger.com, and there's a little tab, and it says find a therapist. You put in your zip code, and then it'll show you the most trained to the least trained. And you want to look at how many lines of training this person has, because if they're trained across the board in craniosacral and SER 1 and 2, they're the people you want to have their hands on you, because they can help you learn to dialogue with your body and listen to the story your body has to tell and work through it.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay, yeah.
I
just feel blessed that you, like this, it's almost like the universe said this is for you, like it's a gift.
Yeah.
You, this show is a gift for me. This is just such a gift, and I just want to thank both of you ladies.
Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you.
Charlene, I want to offer one other thing, and this is, again, just coming from me. You're a strong woman. And a lot of times, those of us that are strong, spiritually, mentally, physically, right, we've worked up that muscle, which means we've gone through a lot of you-know-what to get here. Like, we didn't get here by like, oh, I'm so good. No, we got the you-know-what beat out of us somewhere along the line to get to be who we are, so we figure out the choices. This is not the time. This is a time to be kind and gentle to yourself. So we, you know, think about this. Go get the help you need. Sometimes we want to get back out there and we just want to get back in the game and we're going to take it all on. That is not this time, right?
No.
You're already back in the game, but you get the help you need. The book's going to help you, but reach out and get some help. Get some body work done. And, you know, then there's the justice part of this. You know, I studied procedural and justice and fairness for 10 years in the context of broken promises. So there's a part of us that wants justice. And if you have a part of you that needs justice, and what I mean by that is you're assaulted. I'm assuming the police or somebody got involved, no?
The police actually were taking care of it for me. I didn't press charges because with everything that's going on up here in Canada and the culture she was from, I didn't want anybody to scream racism. And there were witnesses to it that wrote out statements for me. So they did witness it. So it wasn't like nobody saw, right?
Okay,
Yeah, so the police, I said off the record, they said just because of the heightened thing that's going on up here in Canada, it probably would be best. It would take probably 2 years to go to court just because of COVID alone. And the police would press charges.
You get to the place.
So the police would deal with it. They would go to her home. They would directly deal with it and leave.
Yeah.
Remove me from the situation.
And that's what I'm trying to say. If that is the case with you, then you are full-blown open to take this on and get some healing done. The only reason I ask the question is I just want to make sure that what we're saying to you was going to allow you to take the healing on. And because that situation's taken away from you and somebody else is handling it, you're good to go. Get yourself healed, Charlene.
Thank you so much, ladies.
You bet.
Thank you. Best of luck to you.
Best
Bless
of luck.
You.
Emily, your book, and Charlene said it best, your book goes through and deals with most of this, including process. Actually, it goes through all of it. I love that what you've done is you've said in each of this, and I want to get back to this, you know, we're going to talk about trauma. We're going to talk about shame for the rest of the show. We're going to talk about guilt, and we're going to talk about grief because we're talking about the four. Now, underneath these four, there are other side effects. And yet in your book, you not only take us through it, but you tell us what we can do about it. For example, I was reading the chapter on guilt. And this guilt is right now, the guilt factor is so energetically expansive because people that have never experienced guilt feeling it now.
Who are these people that have never experienced guilt? I'd like to meet them. Who are these strange people?
I think they're Cheech and Chong. You know this?
Yeah.
But never felt it at quite the level. Guilty about going back to work. Guilty about not going back to work. Guilty about having to leave work early. I'm just talking about work. I could go on about other things.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty about having a loved one that passed away and that you weren't there to be by their side. Guilty about feeling like you're not doing enough, yet you're burning, forget about the midnight oil, you're burning the 3 or 4 o'clock oil. These are the four you mentioned in the book. How pivotal are they for you to help us understand why we need to heal them?
So they're the most pivotal emotions, in my opinion, that the body holds. Now remember, and let me keep saying this, my work is as the role of your body worker. My hands touch your skin. It's skin to skin. I get messages through my hands from your body. So when I talk about trauma, shame, guilt, and then grief, it's because I can actually feel it in your tissues. So imagine that somebody can put their hands on you and feel the level of guilt because your tissues have anchored. And that's a big deal because it's one, you know, feeling guilty all the time, you think it's always in your mind, but it's deeply anchored inside your body and it weighs you down heavily. Every step becomes harder to take. Coming back to work is almost impossible. Making those moves is very hard because you feel so heavy. Guilt is heavy. And I use this analogy in my book because it's the way it feels to me from my hands between shame and guilt. And that is, imagine that there's a little snake in the blood flow, in the plasma, and it's going around your whole body and it decides somewhere random, unbeknownst to you, to lay eggs. Guilt is the egg that's still intact. You can remove the eggs. Shame, the egg has shattered and the body is absorbing each little crispy piece of the eggshell. Shame is so hard to release, so hard, because the egg has shattered. Guilt is like it's still heavy. It's still in free form. It's still in full form. So guilt is something you can deal with slightly easier than shame, to me, in my opinion, from that almost 20-plus years of having my hands on many, many different bodies. Mm. But guilt and shame are dysfunctional best friends, and I don't believe you can have one without the other in your body. They come hand in hand,
but
shame has broken. So it changes the dynamic of your entire being, and that's really important because it can't just be, I'm tired of feeling guilty. I'm tired of thinking guilty thoughts. Feeling guilty, it's inside you. It has affected the way that your body is able to run itself. It damages and changes and slows your body's equilibrium, meaning homeostasis, your body's ability to stay and remain in balance no matter what the environmental factors are. It interrupts that. So those things are beyond pivotal to me. for healing.
Yeah. You know, I love the way you describe them because, you know, we address things, and let me just go here for a minute. We address things at a surface level, and we call it done. Mm-hmm. And so what do I mean by a surface level? I call it, my view of surface is your view of suppression. Can you talk about suppression for a minute?
I believe that suppression is making a choice not to choose, not to do any work, to put it away, to turn your head and play dumb to it. It's sitting right here, but you've decided that you're willingly admitting that you're not willing to see it. It is a conscious decision to not make any moves towards something. So you're pushing it down. You're pushing it down, and you're stifling it, and you're not allowing it to come up and to teach you what it's there to teach you. So it's like you're almost being suffocated, but you can still breathe, but you have to breathe. It's almost like somebody taking a burlap sack and putting it over your face, and you still are able to breathe, but your breath is never going to be free.
Right.
That's the same thing with your body when you choose to suppress something, or when you decide that, because a lot of people decide they're strong and they don't want to deal with that because that doesn't define who you are. And it shouldn't define who you are. No one trauma should define who you are. But guess what? If you decide not to ever face it, it is going to define who you are, because it's defining the part that you're refusing to see. And that's the part that other people can see in you, and they can't put a finger on it, but there's something about you. You know, when you look at people and you go, how did they become that? How did they get to be that person? Whether it's a wonderful person or terrible, there's something that happened along the way that we chose to work with and use on our side, or we chose to stifle it down. And it sits. It's like a shadow self that just stands by you.
And, you know, it's interesting because we all have it. You know, I shared recently an article, a letter that Carl Jung wrote, and it was it's actually a very secret letter. Not many people read it because it's out of the context of Jung. He wrote it to Bill Wilson, who is the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step programs. And it was a letter in response to Bill Wilson's, it took Bill 30 years to thank Carl Jung for the entire spiritual aspect of the 12-step programs. That is a long time, Bill, for an amends, but okay, dude, you did it. But it was the letter. If you ever read these letters, read Carl Jung's response. Because what you find in his response, many years later, like in the 60s, right, from many years later from the Jung, you hear his shame, and you hear his guilt, and you hear him say in one sentence, I was afraid to do more. I was afraid to talk more about spirituality. You can hear it. And I was so made aware of the power of guilt and shame. And, you know, if you look at a man like Carl Jung, who many of us studied and tried to understand, I say try, I'm still trying. But when you read those lines, you're faced with the reality that we're all human. And I think that's what your book addresses. It addresses the fact that we're all human. And we have to try to figure this problem out from all the dimensions of who we are. Emily, thank you for today. A couple things. How do people get a copy of your book? Please let us know.
It's on healingourselveswhole.com. You can get the book. You can order it anywhere books are sold, honestly. Amazon, of course. And that's where you can get the audio as well. But everything is on Healing Ourselves Whole. And if you want to join my newsletter, I send out videos. I only do a monthly newsletter because I find myself not opening a lot of newsletters. So I do a monthly newsletter, and on that I'll do a special video just for the people that subscribe.
Yeah, and, you know, the other things, it's a great way for people to stay plugged in. Also, you've got an audio version of this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So all of that's available. You know, there's a lot of things we've talked about and a couple of things we didn't. And we have a few minutes left, and I want to get to them. There's some questions I didn't ask you, but it really is more about your vision the world needs. Give us a few minutes of your vision. Where do people go from here?
You're going to have to go silent. And here's where I've started to change. In the book, I talk about learning how to sit still and let the discomforts arise, and can you stay there? But as we move into the next phase, now I have a new question. When you feel joy or happiness or bliss, can you sit still in it and let the happiness arise without catastrophe looming around the corner? Can you sit and let yourself experience joy without a constant terror that that means you brought on something negative? Because our fear-based thinking couples, and it's incredibly daring. I believe now that it's your big, bold, brave move to allow yourself to feel happy when it comes, to sit still and let it enter into the system without constantly joining it with a fear-based thought. And I think that is where we're going forward, is can you be so brave and bold to allow yourself to be happy in the space when it comes?
You know, first of all, let me thank you for everything you're doing again. Thank you for brilliantly bringing this out. But more importantly, thank you for writing a book that not only talks about suppression, but gives us a way to release from it. And, you know, in the end, I love where you go. You go to happy. That's what we're talking about. Maybe we all need to malt ourselves.
Yes.
I just made that like a thing now.
I love that.
Let's do a Malta.
Let's Malta ourselves.
Let's Malta ourselves. I'm thinking about it. Thank you so much, Emily, for today. Thank you for everything that you're doing. You make me want to get on a plane and come on over there. I so have so much
of those invitations for you here. Come on in.
Oh, my
gosh. I got a little apartment downstairs with your name on it. Come on.
I know. And I'll be over there not looking for a Home Depot, which really makes me feel good. And I love Home Depot, so don't get me wrong.
I do, too. I forgot that I miss it.
But I love the fact you just now gave me inspiration. I've been calling somebody to mow my lawn, and I just haven't followed up. And now you've reminded me that I don't need to buy another weed whacker. I'm just going to hire somebody.
Yes. I have a gardener here, and he's cool.
I'm going to get a gardener. I did. All right. Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
What a great book. What a great show. Charlene, thank you so much for calling in. You got to know our hearts go out to you. Nobody should be subjected to physical harm.
Mm-mm.
No one. We should not.
There is no place for that anymore.
There's no place
for the violence. There really is
no place for the violence. Boy, I'll tell you. You know, we're wrapping up on Pride Month, and I've done a couple of shows, and there's an image that I'll never forget. Matthew Shepard tied to it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, you know, if we keep doing shows like this, maybe we keep reaching more people, Emily. Maybe your book helps people heal. Maybe they heal at a level where they're going to find a level of love and a level of peace. You know, people say I'm an idealist. They say I'm an optimist. I get called Pollyanna Patty. And you know what? I'm not giving that up.
No way.
I can't give
up. First you got to get real, and then you go higher. That's how that works.
Yeah, if you come to my door, I'll probably adopt you. All right. Don't come to my door. All right, everybody. Emily Francis, we're going to take a short break, healing ourselves whole. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW. Schmidt or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good, sunny, warm Monday to you. Better not have those here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Starting things off over now, looks like on Highway 18 westbound, just east of Tiger Mountain Road, around Mile 24. A few fallen trees in that area that's blocked in the right-hand of the lane. Good thing, though, State Patrol has arrived on the scene, and they're taking care of those trees, getting it moved off to the side and providing a detour. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. 10 people are now confirmed dead in the Florida condo collapse as the desperate search continues for 151 others still listed as missing. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava provided the update 5 days after the 12-story building's sudden collapse. She also stressed that search and rescue remains the top priority. The White House is walking back President Biden's veto threat on bipartisan infrastructure legislation. Press Secretary Jen Psaki reiterated a veto threat was not the president's intended message. She noted Biden issued a quite lengthy and detailed statement clarifying that he intends to work his heart out to get the American Families Plan passed.
Democrats aim to pass a scaled-down bipartisan infrastructure bill in tandem with a larger budget reconciliation bill that would include Biden's more partisan priorities. North Carolina is set to receive $40 million as part of a settlement with electronic cigarette company Juul. State Attorney General Josh Stein said North Carolina is holding Juul accountable for its instrumental role in creating a youth vaping epidemic. Terms of the agreement call for Juul to stop targeting ads to minors and paying influencers for promotion purposes. More than 47 million Americans plan to travel over the July 4th holiday. The projection is close to pre-pandemic levels.
This is the second highest Independence Day travel volume that we will have on record, trailing behind just 2019. And it's only about 2.5% fewer Americans than we saw traveling in 2019.
That's Meredith Mitz of AAA.
I walk the line.
Fans of the late Johnny Cash are being treated to songs from an old show. The previously unreleased 1968 concert at San Francisco's Carousel Ballroom, which includes his take on Bob Dylan's songs Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, and One Too Many Mornings, will be released on September 24th. The show happened just days before the release of his iconic At Folsom Prison show. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I think it's a vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking,
isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kids?
My kiddos, it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. Well, folks, it's the day we've been waiting for the last few days, actually. Possibly the hottest day of the year expected. Temperatures well past 100. Reaching up to 107, 8, 9, and maybe 10 in selected areas. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the east to southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to a mild 68, 69. Sunshine returns for Tuesday. High temperatures, much cooler, high 10, 15 degrees, probably down to about 90. Low temperatures, around 65.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Nancy Landrum is joining me here today. I mean, I can't say enough about the work that she's doing. You know, what it's like when you are somebody like her, an author, a coach, who specializes in relationships, who specializes in communication. She's written books. She's done marriage seminars, right? You know, she has a coach that's worked with pastors, counselors, across the board. But more importantly, she knows underneath it all that here are the tools that we can use, whether it is about communication, and we're going to talk a bit about that, but also about this creating a relationship legacy. And, you know, one of the things that we're going to jump in and talk about here for a minute is we hear so often that we are a result of our upbringing. You know, we hear so often that, look it, this is the hand you've been dealt. That's it. Now that's kind of like a I don't have control of anything kind of thing. But today we're going to talk about a couple of really fascinating phenomena that Nancy's going to walk us through, and what these mean. And by the way, what is it about coaching and the work that she does that could be the difference between continuing to have relationships deteriorate or building strength and opening up a new door for positive change. And this is really the realm that we're talking about today. But legacy, when we talk about relationship legacy, a lot of folks are thinking, I don't know if that's possible. Nancy, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, so imprinting. I want to ask you about this. So I don't know if you know this or not. Imprinting is one of the most well-known terms, and I got to tell you why. You're going to laugh. Of course we know it from animals, like a duck. But did you know that it became one of the more pivotal points in the three-book, four-movie phenomena Twilight series?
I had no idea.
I know. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because many people hadn't heard the term until this movie that hit across pop culture, millennium generation, books were bestsellers. It's all about vampires falling in love in a whole different way, but imprinting became the pivotal solution. But imprinting, we may not really know what it is. That movie, I don't think, told us what it really is. Tell us where imprinting is in the realm when we're talking about relationship legacy.
Well, it's first of all defined as a remarkable phenomenon in which newborn creature bonds to the type of animals it meets at birth. And we know the thing about ducks and chickens getting imprinted to the wrong mother. But imprinting can profoundly impact how babies are raised both in humans and in animals. It isn't necessarily good or bad, but we all experience it to some extent. That's that old argument over nature versus nurture. It influences the way in which you think, feel, and behave. And as a result, understanding imprinting and how it affects you can help you lead a happy and healthy life. It could also help you sort through some unhealthy behaviors or areas in which you feel stuck. Scientists propose that many animals, including humans, transmit features of themselves from one generation to the next, not simply by passing along their chromosomes, but by training their offspring to behave as they do. You know, it's a well-documented fact that characteristics run in families. Behavior characteristics run in families, such as domestic violence runs in families. Or multi-generational divorces also tend to run in families. But so does the pattern of stable, happy marriages. That is a pattern that also runs in families. Because we tend to act in a way in which we saw our parents acting that seemed normal to us growing up. I often ask a new couple whom I'm coaching, do you have anyone in your family or your friends who has a marriage that you'd love to emulate? Most faces go blank while they're trying to think of any marriage with whom they are close that is worthy of their admiration.
Yeah.
And most couples can't think of even one. Many have parents who have divorced or even grandparents who have divorced or who are obviously unhappy in their marriage. When you don't have an example of a happy, loving marriage, it's pretty hard to believe that you can create one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I want to talk about this because it happens so young, right? In a lot of cases, we're talking about an experience that happens. And, you know, I've shared a bit of my story, and what I realized is those early years of my life, really early, before age five,
yes,
were so powerfully uplifting. And, you know, I hadn't really given it much thought. After five, things took a really strange turn. But this idea that you're talking about, you made me go back and think a little bit about who my mom was, who literally passed at when I was six. But I had to think about what I'd learned from her. And I was getting ready for the show, and I was thinking about imprinting. First, my dad wasn't around. So I'm not even sure. So it was my sister and my mom. And my mom was a absolutely loving person. And my older sister got it from her. You could see it in the way my sister was revered at her funeral. But these are things that we don't quite understand. I mean, without your help, we don't quite understand the impact of them. I mean, we're not able to look back and say, oh, that's why I'm an optimist, right? You know, oh, dot, 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 dot. But how do these things show up in relationships, Nancy? And what happens in them when we think, when we go from the discovery that imprintings happen, what is the, how should I say it? What is the consequence slash opportunity of discovering this?
Well, the consequence is you have a choice. So when you look at a pattern that you're repeating from your family of origin, you can choose to change it. It doesn't have to stay that way. One example is my friend Alex adopted her family's pattern by believing that when her newlywed husband, Don, hurt her feelings, he always did it on purpose because that was what her mom and dad did to each other. They blamed each other. They believed her feelings were done on purpose. But in order to create a happier marriage, she replaced that belief with this one. Sometimes Don hurts my feelings, but he doesn't do it intentionally. He's always willing to listen to my feedback and tries to change his behavior in the future. When my late husband Jim and I experienced frequent and debilitating conflict in our marriage, I duplicated the pattern of disdain for my husband like my mother had for my dad. And I practiced sarcastic put-downs like she did. I adopted also the low self-esteem for myself as a woman from my father's attitude about women. But I was when I saw the patterns being repeated, I was determined to find help. I desperately wanted my childhood dream of a happy, loving marriage. I visualized myself in the middle of a river of dysfunctional relationships that was flowing down to me for many generations. And eventually I faced that river of unhappiness and said, I will change the course of this river. I will not pass these patterns on to my children and grandchildren. I'm so grateful that eventually we found a coach very similar to me that taught us the rudimentary versions of the skills that I now teach that helped us resolve our conflicts and live in a constant flow of love. Every one of our five children have thanked us for giving them the legacy or the model of a respectful and loving marriage. You can change a negative legacy or negative imprinting. It's possible to change it if you're willing to look at yourself, change your behaviors, exchange the disrespectful ones that create problems in relationships for the more respectful ones that nurture love. So I have several examples of couples that I've coached that have done that very thing. One is Jerome and Grace. I'm going to quote from something they sent me. They said, we knew that we loved each other, but we were walking on eggshells because we were just hiding our resentment, like the patterns from their family. Nancy taught us to communicate properly through skilled discussions and perception checking. Our relationship now feels more loving than ever. A skilled discussion every week helps keep the lines of communication open, which paves the way for being less afraid of conflict and becoming more in tune with each other. That's just one cup. Here's another one. This is Dr. Mike and his wife, Connie. Connie wrote, what Nancy teaches is the how in a marriage, how to talk to one another, how to focus on the present to build a better future, and how to heal our own hearts as individuals so we truly have a deeper connection to ourselves and our partners. The tools that we were given have helped us be better parents to our children more loving and patient with other family members, and more thoughtful leaders in our business. I love getting reports like this. And my website has dozens of testimonies similar to these two.
Yeah. You know, and the reason that we're talking about this in this way, too, for me, is that we're really, and I've said this to you before, and I keep talking about it on air, Nancy, you know, we're at a point now where people have been in relationships, all kinds of relationships, family relationships, marriage relationships, work. We have been put under such strain without tools. Yes. than I've seen in my lifetime. And it's not just like one country or one county. We're talking across the board nationally. And when we start to hear people and begging, we don't know how, that to me is really why I said to you what you talk about and the work you do is so important. Because if people knew they can learn how, and they are willing.
Yes.
Right? You got to be willing.
Ingredient there.
Yeah, you got to be willing. I mean, I was talking to a couple not too long ago, and one of the two was trying to drag the other one along to an intervention to get something. It's like, that is not going to work. We're going to take a short break. When we come back with Nancy Langer, we're going to talk about this idea of, you know, a family. Can we find somebody that we look at? You know, can you find somebody, a marriage, a couple? Can you find something? And how do you know what to look for? See, this is the tricky part about this, Nancy. We got to talk about this when we come back. If you have a pattern of thinking, this is the relationship I want, but you're coming from a place that it's all you know, how do we get out of the box and start to look at relationships? Even, by the way, if they are Hollywood ones, how do we find that? If you can't find anything in your family, how do you latch on to that thing you want the energy to be about? When we come back, we're going to talk about that and much more. We're going to let you know how to find out more about Nancy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ready to shift your current beliefs about death from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kiefer as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Mind to Heart with me, Craig Richardson, carves a pathway from your mind to your heart to activate that innate compass to overcome whatever life sends your way. As an intuitive life coach, I am ready to guide you to an amazing life. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about me, visit CraigERichardson.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendars.
Days of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What?
Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm loving this show, Creating a Relationship Legacy with Nancy Landrum. Let's take a moment, Nancy. How do people find out about you, but also how do they work with you? And I know we're joking a little bit during the break, but we'll talk about that when we come back. How do people get a hold of you? How do they schedule time with you?
You can email me at nancy@nancylandrum.com, or you can telephone me for a free consultation at 951-239-1134. Or go to my website. You can contact me through my website, nancylandrum.com.
Thank you. And Nancy, there's a wide array of things people can learn from you. They could take classes, which we'll talk about, but also they can work with you one-on-one. And, you know, we were talking about communication, but I want to get back to, you know, a core of today's show. And that is about the legacies, and that's about looking at the legacies and looking at what they all mean. Because, you know, now we talked a little bit about family imprinting, but the question is, okay, now that I've discovered this, now that I know what's happening, you know, where do we go with this? Well, a lot of times we beat ourselves up. We have a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And you and I said something during the break, which I think is pivotal. You know, you got to come to a place where you realize that, you know, at a certain point in time, you did the best you could, right?
I honestly believe that everyone is doing the best that they know how to do at any given time. And if Jim and I had known how to create a loving, happy marriage to begin with, we would have done that. But instead, because we didn't know how to resolve conflict, our conflict escalated, our communication methods deteriorated, and we were both begging, you know, I used the term in some classes that I taught that we all wish we had a relationship GPS, like just implant a GPS in me so that I know what to do and how to do it to create a better relationship. I wish it were that simple. But Jim and I were both to the place where we were so tired of hurting each other and so tired of fighting that we were begging for someone to tell us how to do this the way we need to do it. And we were very proactive about looking for help. We went to several therapists. We went to pastoral counselors. We read books. We listened to tapes. And it just seemed like nothing. Well, there were little bits and pieces that were nice, but they didn't really give us the core skills that we needed to learn how to communicate respectfully when we were angry. You know, how do I handle my anger when I'm so angry I know I can't act in a respectful way? So we needed anger management skills. We needed to learn how to listen to each other. How do I listen in a way that is demonstrating that I really care about your point of view? I mean, when Jim was talking to begin with, I didn't care about his point of view. I was just using that time to formulate my own rebuttal. You know, I wanted to convince him that I was right. It took a coach to teach us some very basic skills and then a lot of practice before the speaking respectful, well, the first time we sat down to talk about our big issue, and I know I've said this on your show before, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
But the first time we sat down to talk about our hot issue, and we were trying so hard to use the respectful means of speaking and listening that our coach was teaching us, it felt to both of us like we were trying to talk in a foreign language. Wow. It was so foreign to us. It was so unusual. It felt awkward. We were constantly, I was constantly having to correct what I said to stop the sarcasm and say it more respectfully, for instance. But we made it through 45 minutes of a discussion without it escalating into a fight for the first time in years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so exhausted by the effort that we agreed to stop for that day. We stood up. We were going to pick it up again the next day. Jim held his arms open to me, and he said, that felt so respectful. Let's do our best to always treat each other with respect. And that became our benchmark. That was our goal, that no matter what was going on, we would treat each other with respect. We didn't realize at the time how essential that commitment was, and how necessary respect is to nurturing love. We had probably what I call skilled discussions now. We probably had four or five a week for the next 5 or 6 weeks before we finally resolved the big issue that had been driving us apart in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But we never had another fight. After that day, there was never another fight. We had 17 more years together before he passed, and there was never once even a harsh word between us because we were so committed to maintaining respectful behavior. And I don't mean kind disinterest, you know.
No.
It wasn't disinterest. It was, we were dealing with issues and loving each other passionately, but we were committed to treating each other with respect.
Yeah, and that's really what I'm trying to say is the confusion between respect and so many other attributes is that, you know, you can be respectful to someone and have a stern voice in what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of confusion around it because, you know, we confuse sarcasm or, you know, we confuse dismissive body language. These things, you know, sarcasm and dismissive body language, those are not respectful, not in any arena.
Not at all.
The other thing is, you know, we do things in relationships and we think they're okay because we have a family imprint.
Yes.
If you are an inquisitive person or you have come from a family where inquisition, investigation is a mode of operation, right? Because you sat around the dinner table and sat with, you know, parents that ask you why a million times. They're trying to get, and if you enter the world and this is your mode of operation and people don't understand that, you know, asking why to a question to somebody is extremely sensitive.
It can be very intrusive.
Intrusive, that's a better word. And then there's why that you really want to know, and then there's why and you don't really want to know.
Well, that's the truth. Yes.
But a lot of this does come from a legacy that we don't think we can change, and that's not what we're talking about here today. You know, we can change this.
I have so many examples, so many testimonials of couples that Jim and I taught together for 11 years before he passed, and then since that time I've been teaching and writing about these skills. So many couples who have changed the trajectory of their marriage by learning and practicing new skills.
Yeah.
And needed to know how. That's why the book that we wrote together is called How to Stay Married and Love It. You know, we wanted to stay married the way our parents had, but we wanted to love it a whole lot more than it looked like our parents did.
Yeah.
So how? Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
One of the things I want to say is I'm hope you're getting ready to say, how do we do it? Because when we come back from break, I want to really talk about this. I want to talk about some of the most unseen things. I know you've got stories, but we can change the legacy for ourselves. And I love the story of that you're going to share with Jerome and Grace, because one of the things that is so painful is unspoken resentments, right?
Resentment is relationship killer.
It is. You know, in a 12-step program, there's a line in a lot of the writings in there, and there's one. Resentment is the number one offender.
Yes.
It's the number one offender. But most people, Nancy, they don't think they can do anything about it. So when we come back, we need to have how do we do something about it, even if it means changing the legacy. How have you helped people with this, and how can we start to have a conversation so people are not what we, as a matter of fact, this weekend we used the term walking on eggshells. That discovery of walking on eggshells, underneath it, is so much. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Nancy Landrum is going to walk us through what she does to help people. If you feel right now you're walking on eggshells, if you just feel that and you don't have anything else that you know, that is enough. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Someone with a life-altering diagnosis, you are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you. Help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you and pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. Nancy Landrum. If you want to work with Nancy, if you want to give her a call, if you're thinking, yeah, resentments, I don't know what to even do with them, you know, whether or not they're part of your legacy, if you are getting hit up with disrespect in relationships to people you love, I mean, this, we're at a point in time now where this is the moment where you can do something about it. And, you know, you're going to hear in our next segment what Nancy has done to help people. Before the break, we were talking about walking on eggshells. So if you don't want to walk on eggshells any longer, NancyLandrum.com, please go ahead and give Nancy a call, Nancy Landrum, LANDRUM.com. Please go ahead. Is there a phone number that you have that people can call?
951-239-1134.
Beautiful. Nancy, look, this is a life work for you, but you've worked with people. You know what's underneath here. You and I were talking during the break. We can't talk about resentment for other people because that's not really an experience. But it is a deadly, deadly thing in relationships, and it rarely gets talked about or addressed. How do we change the legacy for ourselves?
Well, first of all, I have to be honest with you and say that I had wasted a lot of the younger years of my life resenting my mother in particular because she didn't mother me the way I wanted to be mothered and my dad. And it took a long time for me to forgive her for being a human being who was doing the best she knew how to do.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is part of letting go of resentment. When I was able to just accept that she came to motherhood with the tools she was given. And she didn't know how to, she didn't have all the resources I had, you know, 40 or 50 years later. Psychology was in its infancy when my mother was being a mother. And so anyway, forgiveness was a big, and I think forgiveness is a big part of letting go of many resentments. Jim and I learned, accepted, realized that resentment was a relationship killer between us. So if I resented Jim for something, some behavior he was doing that annoyed me or whatever, if it was important enough, then I would bring it up and ask for a skilled discussion about it, where I could share with him, this is how this behavior affects me and what I would really like is. And we would work on it together. And then he'd have the opportunity to either say, you know, in his case, he was always so good to say, I'm so sorry that hurt you. Let me see what I can do about changing that behavior. We would work on changes together. But if a resentment was minor, then I would negotiate inside myself. Is this something I can let go of without hanging on? If I'm going to hang on to it, then it needs to be discussed in the relationship. If I can let go of it, I'll let go of it. But we made an agreement that we would never do anything for the other that we resented doing because we were so aware of how resentment poisoned the atmosphere between the two of us. I was so impressed with a couple named Ray and Macy who brought their two adult daughters into a family session with me to clear up the many resentments that had piled up in their stepfamily that were poisoning the relationships in their adult family. And the latest report from them is that the whole family continues to be happier. We spent 2 hours in my living room in a circle having a group skill discussion where one person at a time spoke. Whoever was the appropriate listener would repeat back what they said. It clarified misunderstandings, opened up a dialogue between them that completely cleared the air of resentments that had been poisoning that family. I love that. Just love it. There's another example from Connie. I mentioned Connie before.
Yeah.
She said, this is how a legacy gets transformed by passing it on to the children, passing on the good skills to the children. She said our son Graydon was talking back to me and Mike. Finally, Mike had enough, and he started yelling out of pure frustration in the midst of his son arguing with him. Before Graydon went back outside, I pulled him into the office and told him I needed him to learn how to talk with us the way Dad and I have learned to talk to each other. By the way, Connie and Mike used to do a lot of arguing, even in front of the children knew when they were walking on eggshells with each other or were silent with each other. They no longer do that because they learned how to have skilled discussions. So she gave to Graydon a list of feeling words used to talk and stick and asked him for permission to talk about how she felt about the back talk and arguing and asked him to repeat back to her what she heard. He heard. And I did the same for him, she says, hearing his feelings and repeating them back to him. It's been almost a night and day shift in that kid. Just after one sit down together with a skilled discussion, I know he heard me because he had to repeat it. And I know he felt heard because I did the same for him. Mm. He left feeling so much better and immediately apologized to his dad. That's how you change the trajectory of the legacy in your family, is by learning the skills yourself, modeling them for your children, first of all, and then teaching your children these skills that are pure respect. Children need to be respected and listened to, you know, heard every bit as much as adults do.
In the conversation, we often forget that so many people are affected. I think we're now in a place where we need to talk more openly about this and be able to have this conversation that says, wait a minute, you know, this is not about good or bad or evil. This is about a new level of awareness. And you know, I want to get back to really emphasizing to folks that, yeah, probably have done the best you could do. And be really clear about that for a minute, because it's very difficult to come up and say, we would like help with this, if you're feeling so much guilt and shame about what you've done. And I think we have to really talk to the fact that this work that you did, and you talked about Mike and Connie and Jerome and Grace, this work is from people that wanted to have a new beginning. It's not about the past, let's just beat that. It's about, we know that this is not working for us. What can we do this day moving forward, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I frequently tell clients, it's not your fault that you are where you are. You're using tools or skills or methods that were modeled for you that felt natural to you. You thought they would work or you wouldn't have used them. And the truth is, sarcasm doesn't work to build a good relationship. Name-calling doesn't work. Going silent and giving your partner the cold shoulder, that doesn't work. It protects you for a certain amount of time.
Right, right.
It doesn't heal the relationship.
Right.
So what I ask them to do is to be patient. It took most of the time, it took years to get a relationship in the shape that it's in.
Yeah.
By the time they come to me, I ask them to be patient. It's roughly a 3-month intense project to change the trajectory of the relationship and create a more, give yourself the skills and practice them enough.
Yeah.
That they start to become your new habits. They have to become your new habits.
Let me ask you this question, and I want to go ahead and skip the last break. For those of you just tuning in, you know, Nancy Landrum is joining me here today, and we're talking about creating relationship legacy. This is something, this is not an academic conversation. You know, today what we're talking about is the how. How do you change it? How do you get help? Go to nancylandrum.com. There's books there, but more importantly, you can schedule this communication session with her and learn something now. And I think, Nancy, one of the things I'm really struck by is, you know, what you can do. And people sometimes don't take action because they think this is a perfect process. This is a messy process.
Yes.
You know, and we think it's got to be all like in this wrapping, and then you got to have this shell, and then the moon has got to be, well, by the way, the moon is in a great place right now for everybody out there to do this. But, you know, my sign is not, no, this is where you come to the place where you're exhaling for help.
Jim used to use the example of a 747 airplane leaving LAX, heading for New York, and they get the word for whatever reason they need to turn around and go back to LAX. So if they turn around at a very sharp angle, what happens to the plane?
Oh, boy.
It falls apart from the force.
Yeah.
So they turn the plane around by doing just a few degrees at a time, until finally the plane is headed back to LAX. Well, that's what I tell couples. You need to be patient with the process of learning new skills and practicing them in a relationship. It happens a few degrees at a time. Every lesson builds on the lesson before that. So every time you practice a skill discussion, it's, in the beginning it will be awkward. It won't be easy. It's a new skill, like learning to ride a bike was once a new skill.
Yeah.
But if you keep practicing it, it becomes very fluid and natural. Till, when Jim and I were trying to resolve our worst issue, we had like 4 or 5 skilled discussions a week for several weeks before we finally found a solution. But by that time, the practice of a skilled discussion had become so habitual that from that time on, any time there was any little hint of a problem between the two of us, we just stepped in, like I call it the seatbelt and shoulder harness.
Yeah.
Skill discussion.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a very structured process that's like wearing a seatbelt and shoulder harness. There are rules to a skill discussion. You know, we can't both talk at once. We can't talk over each other. The talking doesn't escalate into a fight anymore because we're taking turns. But the habit became so easy and natural that it was no longer awkward the way it was in the beginning. I wanted to share another story. Steve and Christine are current clients, and they have been learning skills to transform their own relationship, which was full of resentment and kind of standoffs in their announcements to each other, that they've been learning those skills, and he refers to a skill called, or a practice called taking out the trash, which is an exercise I recommend parents do with their children. Steve reported this incident with his son. He said, in the past, when Connor misbehaved, I jumped right into a lecture. Well, if you know anything about parenting, kids don't learn from lectures. Anyway, he goes on to say, this has typically led to a strong-willed defensive reaction. You know, that's the kind of reaction you can expect. This time, when Connor, beating up his sister's doll, I offered to take out the trash with Connor. Although it was a new concept for both of us, he responded well, and he noticed this process was not met with any judgment whatsoever. It was simply a chance for him to identify his feelings and feel heard. I skipped right past telling him what he did wrong. Instead, I focused on explaining to him that his sister really looks up to him and enjoys spending time with him. In a nutshell, I told him, you are a likable kid, and your sister thinks you are really fun to hang out with. Shortly after, he owned up to his behavior and offered a heartfelt apology to his sister. This made my day. Well, his reporting this to me made my day, because I could see the skill that he and Christine were learning was now being passed down to his son, with the same transformative results that it was having in their marriage. These stories, they inject me with the will to keep going.
Yeah.
My clients' work of learning and practicing better communication skills, and they're passing on a new legacy to their children, first of all, by modeling those skills in front of their children, and that's kind of an unconscious passing on, but also consciously teaching their children new skills. That is so exciting to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, part of what you and I are talking about is a change and learning a skill that changes an entire context of a relationship. And, you know, by learning these skills, and I want to get back to something you said earlier, which is so important. You know, when we're talking about skill discussions, we're talking about a safe space. We're talking about there are rules in the space.
Yes.
We're talking about how to ask for that time.
Yes.
Right? It's not, you know, it's not, okay, we got to have a skill discussion. Well, maybe, but it's got to work for both people. It's got to be in a place where people feel like they have the skills to use. And it's like you said, it takes time. And, you know, part of the difficulty is you're already in a situation that maybe you are feeling like eggshells, and then one of you doesn't do it, quote, right. How many times have you heard that? They didn't do it right, Nancy. He didn't do it right. She didn't do it right.
I'm laughing because I hear that complaint fairly often. Whether the other person does it right or not, I can do it right. One of the things I tell couples, if they find themselves in a fight like they used to have a fight, one of the ways to stop a fight in its tracks is to begin being the listener rather than the speaker. Begin repeating back what your partner is saying as though you really want to understand their point of view, not with an attitude and not sarcastically, but you're sincerely listening and repeating back to your partner. That will stop a fight in its tracks.
Yeah.
A skill discussion always begins with an invitation. I'd like to have a skill discussion with you about X. Is now a good time? If it's not a good time, then the person that's being invited says, yes, I'll have a skill discussion with you. I'll be free. I'll be off the phone in 30 minutes. We can have it then. But I tell couples, if you're serious about transforming the nature of your relationship, then the answer to that request for a skill discussion is always yes. It may not be this minute, but you give your partner a time when you will be available and you will participate in a skill discussion.
And that's really part of the conversation and why what I'm trying to say is, you know, we don't know where to start, and that's what you do to help people. You know, see, a lot of times we try to do things on our own, and we try, and we fail, and we try, and we fail. And, you know, we do the best we can with trying and failing, but we don't have the skills. We don't have a neutral party like you to work with, right? Mm-hmm. We don't fill the blanks in yourself. We just don't. And I think you're at a place now where we need to learn some skills. We're at that, you know, the stress of the pandemic so much more has really caused, you know, walking on eggshells is like an understatement. And I love the analogy of the L.A. I was laughing a little bit because I went to school in California in Claremont. I would fly down every week in my second year. My boss didn't want me to leave a project, so he flew me every week for like 4 years. And just serendipitously, all my classes, all my teaching, everything worked out that I could go to school for a couple of days and then work. But I remember this one story, and I was thinking about this. I would fly into Ontario, and I remember the time where we had to, landing Alaska Airlines, that flight, direct flight to Ontario, you people saved my life. But I remember a time where the Santa Ana winds, you know those?
Yeah.
So when you were talking about Jim's analogy, I thought about, it's kind of like this too, where you've got to be willing to do it again. You've got to be, so if you're flying into Ontario back in the day when there were no, like you had to walk down the stairs to get out of there, right?
Yes.
Like in the 90s.
I remember.
And the wind, the Santa Ana winds Oh, yeah, certain time. And I remember this one time where I thought to myself, I'm so grateful for this pilot. Because the pilot realized he was getting into a little bit of quicksand. And we were on our descent, and he decided we're not doing it. And he pulled himself up. We have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to hit the restart button.
Yes, absolutely. When I said that Jim and I had a skill discussion 4 or 5 times a week for several weeks, it was the same discussion about the same issue over and over again. And we would keep at it, you know, keep working at it until we were exhausted for that day. And then we would agree to set it down and walk away. If one of us got triggered, if I got triggered and I was upset and I knew that I couldn't remain in the seatbelt and shoulder harness of a skill discussion, I would tell Jim I need a timeout. I can't go on for today. But we would come back the next day and go at it again. We repeated the approach, for instance, if you're using the analogy of the airplane. We didn't solve the problem the first time we talked about it. But we eventually did. We had driven, in the years previous to learning these skills, we had driven each other to opposite, I call it opposite corners of a boxing ring.
Yeah.
I was absolutely sure I was right, and the only solution was my solution. Jim was absolutely sure he was right. The only solution was his solution. So those weeks of practicing a skill discussion helped us gradually move toward the middle of the ring where we could really hear each other's points of view. And that was when our hearts softened toward each other and we were able to look at solutions that neither of us would have looked at a month before. That was when the permanent solution came to our pot issue that nearly drove us to separate.
Nancy, I can't thank you enough. And also, I can't tell you how important this is. But, you know, you're bringing a perspective to people that really struggle. And if they struggle with the how, and what you're doing is with the how. Yeah. You know, you're taking them from point A to point B. You're understanding the scenario, and you're giving them tools. And I want to thank you for that. Again, how do people find out about you? And I'd love to know your personal message.
If you are interested in that exercise called taking out the trash that you'd like to do with your children, just email me and request it. I'll be glad to send it to you at nancy@nancylandron.com. My final message is you can transform your family's relationship legacy by learning and practicing healthier relationship skills for yourself and by teaching those skills to your children. First of all, by modeling them, and then by being more proactive in teaching those skills.
Nancy Landrum, please, everybody, go and check it out, nancylandrum.com. But when you go over to the website, also take a look at some of Nancy's books, some of the upcoming webinars, and more importantly, you know, this is a time where you can reach out for help. She will meet you exactly where you are, and you'll be able to transform, learn some things, learn how to respect each other. And for those of you out there that are in difficult situations, yeah, like maybe with the boss, call her too. Nancy, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Right? Thank you. All right. Respect yourself, everybody. We'll see you.
The views expressed on this program are those...